You know, I have been sensing a shift for months, long before it became visible to us, for that first Sunday in November. Bill and I have just been aware of the undercurrents, of the stirring that God has been doing, and some things that He's calling us to, and things that He is showing us about His heart and where He wants to go. And so last week, when Bill read the entire chapter, the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 2 and 3 just really stood out to me, because I felt like they were a confirmation of some things that He has been saying and speaking and revealing to us, and a sense of where He's wanting to go. But I also had this, I know it was Bill that was reading, but it was almost like God was saying those words Himself, like I was hearing His voice. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about what we feel like God is doing and what He's calling us to and what that's going to look like. So in 1 Corinthians, and we do have YouVersion up if you want to jump on there and follow along there, you can. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, I'm going to read this, but if you can, I want you to hear it as if God is saying it to you. And so here's what He's saying. I had to nurse you and feed you with milk, not with the solid food of more advanced teachings, because you weren't ready for it. In fact, you're still not ready to be fed solid food, for you are living your lives dominated by the mindset of the flesh. Now, when I hear Him saying this, I don't hear condemnation or judgment or frustration or any type of dissatisfaction with us. I hear the voice of a loving Father who is saying, I've had to nurse you. I've had to nurse you with milk. I couldn't give you solid food. I couldn't give you deeper, meaty teachings because you just weren't ready for it. In fact, you're still not ready for it because your lives are being dominated by the mindset of the flesh. I think He's saying it as a moment of teaching, of instruction, of admonition, correction even, but not harsh and yet firm. You see, I think that in this next season that God is taking us into, and I'm not saying this because we've just flipped a calendar year and we're now in 2019. It has nothing to do with the calendar and everything to do with where we are in time. And so I think that as we step into this next season, we're transitioning, we're moving from one season into the next. And in this next season that we're entering, I believe that God's heart for us is to prepare this magnificent table with the choicest of foods, with delicacies that would delight our palate, that would nourish our bellies, that would strengthen us, giving us stamina and endurance. I feel like He is wanting to put this hearty meal on the table, but He is saying to you, I can't, to us, I can't because you don't have any teeth. I can't give you solid food because you have no teeth. And so, as odd as this may sound, I feel like that we are entering into a season of cutting teeth. And when I felt like Holy Spirit was saying that to me, I stopped and thought, have I ever heard this in all of my years of walking with Jesus and all of my time in ministry and the hundreds of thousands of sermons that I've listened to and Bible studies that I've done? Have I ever heard of a season of teething? And I have not. So it sounds odd even to my ears. But I believe that He is preparing this magnificent spread for us, things that are full of revelation and insight, and taking us into the deep place, things that are very meaty, but if we don't have teeth, we won't be able to eat. And unlike physical teeth that just automatically start showing up somewhere around that six-month mark and just naturally begin to come in on their own, spiritual teeth do not work the same way. You may have been walking with Jesus 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years and still have no teeth. You may have been following Jesus 20, 30 years and still have your baby teeth. The length of time that you've been in relationship with Father God does not determine the teeth that you have, because they just do not naturally come in. You can remain toothless for years. And so what I feel like God is saying to us right now in the season is that many of us are about to get our first teeth. Forget about how long you've been coming to church. Forget about how long you've been saved. Some of us are going to be getting our first set of teeth. But for some of us, it might mean that we're losing our baby teeth and our permanent teeth are going to come in. And still for others, it might mean that we're going to cut molars. Or even others might be getting their wisdom teeth. The point is, I don't think that anyone is exempt. I think that everyone has been invited. He's inviting all of us to step into this season and cut teeth so that we can feast on what he's preparing. So we're about to get some teeth. Yeah, well, before you get real excited about that, let me remind you what it's like to cut teeth. I'm currently in a refresher course as our grandson Judah is cutting teeth, and I want you to know it is a snotty, slobbery mess. It is painful. And he is gnawing on everything he can get his hands on. Your shoe, the baby gate, the coffee table, the leg to the couch, his arm, your arm, it doesn't matter. If he can get it in his mouth, he is going to gnaw on it. And he's fussy and he's cranky and he just randomly screams and he doesn't sleep well at night, and it's because he's in pain. Cutting teeth is very uncomfortable and it's very messy, but it is very necessary. Oh, goodness. I have troubles. Pastor Bill, I have troubles. I don't know what just happened. It just shut off. I don't know. Where was I? It's a snotty, slobbery mess. But it's necessary. Oh, praise the one. It's necessary because if he doesn't cut teeth, if he doesn't develop the ability to take in food and eat, he is not going to grow and develop properly. He cannot keep drinking from a bottle and drinking formula and still grow healthy and strong and reach his fullest potential, because milk alone is not enough to completely develop you or to sustain you. His physical, his emotional, his mental, his social development is completely contingent upon his ability to lay down the bottle and pick up a fork. And for those of us who have long since gone through the teething process, while we know it's uncomfortable and it's painful and we don't like it and it's not any fun, we know how necessary it is. In fact, we wouldn't trade the experience for anything, because now that we have teeth, we really love it. And we do whatever we need to do to take care of our teeth. And if something happens to a tooth, we're going to get it fixed. And if we lose our teeth, we're getting new teeth, right? Because none of us wants to go back and live on a bottle. None of us want to go back and just live on milk all by itself. Oh, sure, we don't mind mixing milk in with some things that we're making, or even having a glass of milk with supper or a piece of cake. But we don't want to just live on milk, right? Because it's boring and it's bland and it doesn't satisfy. We enjoy the adventure of eating with utensils, rich, savory, delectable foods that are full of flavor, that have a lot of variety. This food will provide us with sustenance. It will give us energy. It will fuel our body for operation, but it also thrills our taste buds. We like food. Therefore, the teething process was worth it. Right? Because the results are we now get to have food. Well, this is equally true spiritually. If we do not allow ourselves to cut teeth, to go through the teething process, then we will never advance beyond where we are right now. Where you are is where you will stay if you don't cut teeth, if you don't allow your baby teeth to fall out and get permanent teeth, if you don't get molars, if you don't cut your wisdom teeth. This is it. Wherever you are is where you're going to stay if you do not keep going through the teething process. I mean, think about this. Physically, if we don't have teeth, we'll never be able to eat anything of substance because we don't have the capacity to break down food into manageable pieces for swallowing. Without teeth, you can't tear off something, grab hold of something, chew it, help navigate it through your mouth, and at just the right moment, position it to go down the back of your throat and prepare it for swallowing. Teeth are what do that for you. That's why we don't give a baby a burger, right? Why don't we give a baby a burger? They can't manage it. They will choke on it. And what was intended to supply them with nutrition and maybe even enjoyment in the eating process becomes a choking hazard, if not an instrument of death. They will die if they try to eat something that they're not equipped for. Same thing is true for us spiritually. If we don't allow ourselves to go through the teething process, we'll never be able to eat anything of substance because we will not have the capacity to dissect truth into manageable pieces for swallowing. Without teeth, we will not be able to navigate through the word, which means we're going to choke on truth. Without teeth, what was meant to support life, strengthen us, give us stamina, and enjoyment now becomes a choking hazard, possibly even an instrument of death. And you know this is true because how many of you have discovered that the Bible is full of things that are hard to swallow, hard to take in, hard to comprehend, difficult to understand? How many of you, I know this is true for me, have gotten hung up on something that the Bible said? I've been reading the Bible and thought, wait a second, this doesn't match with that. These two things can't possibly coincide and be together. They seem to be polar opposites. Why would Jesus say this? This doesn't even make sense. Why would the Bible even talk about that? Okay, I don't know that I can deal with this because this doesn't match what I believe. This is not what I've been taught. This is not what everybody says. This is not what I've always thought. That does not match up with my opinion. I don't know that I can take that. I can swallow that. Don't know that I can digest that. What do you do with something when you put it in your mouth and you can't break it down? I don't know about you, but like, if I've ever had a piece of steak and it was kind of gristly and after 10 minutes I've been like, this is not going down. I'm a good little Southern girl, and I just get my napkin, and I just, before you even know it, that thing is out of my mouth, in the napkin, and on the side of my plate, and I just pretend like I never did that, and you didn't see it, and we're not going to talk about that. Guys, we do the same thing spiritually. We're reading the Bible, we're listening to a sermon, we're doing a Bible study. We're listening to the voice of God. He speaks to us, and we hear something, and we're like, that's not going down real good. Not compatible with what I know, with my life experience, with my opinion, with what I've been taught. That doesn't seem to make sense with this and this over here. I'm just going to spit that out. Just going to ignore it. Pretend like I never read that. Pretend like I don't know anything about it. Or the flip side of that is, we take it out and say, well, you know, if I just cut this part off, I could swallow it better. Well, if I just got my knife and whittled this and this and this, because I don't like this, and that's probably got a bone in it, and this is not good. But this, I could live with this. And this is the part that I'll take. See, if we don't have any teeth, we won't be able to break down things into digestible pieces so that we can take them in, so that they can do what they're supposed to do. If we don't have teeth, we're going to just be spitting stuff out left and right, or we're going to be dissecting it externally, removing components from it so that it's just easier. And so without teeth, we are either stuck on milk, and milk is fine, milk is good, but it's not always enough. So we're just either stuck with milk or we're stuck with rejecting the word. Boy, that sounded harsh, didn't it? But if you can't swallow it and you spit it out, what did you just do? You rejected the word. And either way, it leaves us as an undeveloped believer, very weak, very frail, malnourished, no stamina, no strength, without the ability to digest solid theology and doctrine. We will not grow and mature. So how are we supposed to get teeth? If he's calling us into the season of teething, where we're going to cut teeth, how do we do it? How do we get ready to eat solid food? How do we get to the place where we can move past the milk and feast on the solid foods of advanced teaching? Well, I think that the verse that we looked at, 1 Corinthians 3, 2 through 3, gives us some insight to that, gives us a piece of the puzzle on what that's supposed to look like. Holy Spirit said in that passage, I'm nursing you because your lives are being dominated by the mindset of the flesh. I'm spoon feeding you because you're carnal. You're not ready for solid teaching because you are being controlled by your sin nature. You are being controlled by human reasoning. You're listening to what Washington and politics say. You're listening to what society says. You're listening to what Hollywood says. You're listening to what social media says. You're listening to what everybody else says. And it's preventing you from cutting teeth. And if you don't have teeth, then you can't have solid teaching. See, it's impossible to cut teeth and digest truth when our minds, when our thinking is dominated by our flesh or by human reasoning or our own understanding. And if we're ever going to develop spiritual teeth, we have to be completely spirit-led. This verse in 1 Corinthians fits so perfectly with Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Same idea, but it expounds on it a little bit more and gives us some greater insight. This passage says, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. I could camp there, but I won't. We'll save that for another time. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. You can't eat solid food because you're being dominated by the mind of flesh, by your carnal nature, by human reasoning. Solid food is for those who know the difference between right and wrong. You can't know the difference between right and wrong if you're being governed by your carnal nature. You see, some of us are pulling up to the table trying to eat meaty things like signs and wonders and miracles and understand the depths of God's heart and know the mind of God when we cannot tell the difference between right and wrong. We're still choking on our milk. We haven't gotten the basics down, like pride. Pride is rampant in our lives. Or anger. Outbursts of rage where we're saying horrible, hurting, cutting, demeaning things to our spouse, to our kids, to our coworkers, or anybody that we ran into that rubbed us the wrong way. We are still struggling with issues of morality and sexual immorality. We think that sleeping with somebody we are not married to is okay, that redefining sexuality in marriage is okay when God says that homosexuality is not okay. We think that flirting with somebody we're not married to or somebody that's married to somebody else is okay. We sweep pornography underneath the rug. That's choking on the basics, guys. We're choking on the fact that we cannot control our tongues. That we think a white lie is okay, that we even think that a white lie is a thing. And we gossip and we complain and we criticize and we grumble. Those are the basics. We struggle with our finances because we don't have the basics down of giving. We don't tithe. And yet we're sitting here and we want to pull up to the table and feast on the supernatural, and God says, you don't have teeth. I want you to have all of this. I want you to have every bit of it, but you don't have teeth. And teeth are required to ingest this. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Who through training. We have to be trained. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 13, that Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. If I am not going to be governed by my carnal mind, if I am not going to be dominated by politics or what this group says or that group says or what Hollywood thinks or this group says I should do or what society's opinion is or what culture is, then I have to be trained to know truth and to walk in truth. And that's the responsibility of Holy Spirit. If we want teeth, we got to let go of all of that stuff and let Holy Spirit teach us and train us and equip us. And the Bible is full of that. The Bible says it over and over and over again. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, let Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. If you're following Holy Spirit and he's giving you directions and you are stepping into that, embracing what he is saying, then some things just aren't an issue anymore. Galatians 5:25 says, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That word every in the Greek means every. All things. No exceptions, no limitations, no restrictions. So that means that Holy Spirit is in charge of every part of me, not just the church part of me. Not just the parts that are comfortable. Not just the parts that are easy. Not just the parts that are, yeah, well, you know, that just comes natural to me. I just do that anyway. No, every part. And as you're following him, the natural progression of that is application. And this is where you really begin to cut teeth. Because I don't know about you, but there is nothing harder than doing something that I don't want to do. It could be the simplest of tasks, but if I don't want to do it, it might as well be climbing Mount Everest. This is where it gets complicated. This is where it gets hard and messy and painful. I don't want anybody to ever think that this is easy. There are a lot of folks who will paint following Jesus as sunshine and roses. And while it is wonderful, it is fulfilling, it is gratifying, it is satisfying, it is not easy. I've been following Jesus since I was 14. I was raised in church, but at 14 I decided, okay, this is going to be the deal. I'm going to do this. It is still not easy. You see, what cutting teeth really involves is surrender and submission. Laying down what I want and embracing what he's telling me to do. And that has never been easy for me. I can't tell you how many nights I've laid on the floor and said, but I want this. I like this. I need this. This is important to me. I can't let this go. And he said, you know, you can do whatever you want to do, but if you're following me, I'm going here. And you can do what you want to do, but it's not going to take you where I'm going. But you don't understand what I feel. You don't understand how my mind works. You don't understand my hard wiring. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what's happening on the inside of me. Oh, but he does. And he says, if you're following me, you're going to have to let this go. You're going to have to get this out of your life. You're going to have to change your perspective. You're going to have to change what you believe. And guys, that's hard. That is hard. I don't want to make any bones about it. When he says, I want you to forgive, I don't want to forgive. They hurt me. And I want to hold a grudge. When he says, I want you to love your enemy, those people who are cruel and who are gossiping about you and who are running you down, I want you to love them and bless them. I don't want to do that. And he said, well, this is where I'm going, and if you're going with me, that's what it looks like. When he says, I want to set you free in your finances, and so I want you to give to me 10% and then add alms to it. I don't want to do that because that means I can't buy this or buy that or go here or go there. And I don't want to do it because it's my money and I worked hard for it. I sit in a crummy job with crummy people doing crummy things and I don't want to do it. And he says, okay, but I'm going here. And if you're going with me, this is what it looks like. Guys, it's hard. And if it's not hard, you're not doing it right. Follow in every leading, every area, you're following him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why are you so polite to me, always saying, yes, sir, and that's right, sir, but you never do a thing I tell you? The words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements for your standard of living. They're foundational words. They're words that you build your life on. James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. This is one that I say to myself pretty often because otherwise surrender and submission gets even more difficult than it already is. Guys, we can come to church every Sunday, and for those of us who are super zealous, come on Wednesdays. And we can listen and we can raise our hands and I want more, so pour it out. Oh, yeah. And I got my Bible, and I'm highlighting things, and this is so good, and amen, bless the Lord. See, you, this is just great, it's great, I just loved it. Oh, I just love it here, this is wonderful. We get in the car, we leave our Bible in the car so that it's there for next week when we come back. We do nothing to activate what we read, what we heard, what we experienced. We forget about Jesus until we show up again, unless we have a crisis on Tuesday, then... Some of us have convinced ourselves that we have something we don't have. Don't just listen to God's word. You have to do what it says. Otherwise, you're falling into self-deception. You're only fooling yourself. You've made yourself think you have something you don't have. You've made yourself think you're going somewhere that you're not going. It can happen to any of us. I know I've looked back over the course of my life and see the moments when God said, wake up! You think you have me, but you don't have me. You're going through the form. You're going through the motions. You say all the right things. You do all the right things, but you're not here with me. I'm over here and you're way over there. You got to follow me, walk with me, and do what I say to do. It's more than listening, it's doing. You see, to me, this is the teething process. Our spiritual teeth are located in our mind because that's where we take in information. And so when we hear something, no matter where you hear it or from whom you hear it, when you hear it, you take it into your mind. And the first thing that you've got to do is taste it to determine whether or not it came from the king's table or not. Psalm 34:8 says to taste and see that the Lord is good. So if you're tasting and it's not good, it's not God. Now the problem is we have redefined what good is. Good does not mean it's easy. Good does not necessarily mean that it is palatable. Good does not mean that it is something that we're really going to love and enjoy. I've never enjoyed forgiving anybody, I promise you. You're going to taste and see, does what you hear line up with the character of God? Does it sound like God? Is it holy? In other words, is it unique, different, and set apart from anything else? Because that's God. For me, if I hear something and it rubs me the wrong way, it's probably God. It's probably Him saying something to me that goes against my flesh, that goes against what I want, that goes against what's easy. And that's usually my first indicator. Just because it rubs me the wrong way doesn't mean it's not good. If it sounds like politics and social opinion and this group's idea and that group's idea and everybody is doing it and everybody thinks that way, probably not God. Because God doesn't think like anybody else. God is holy. He's unique and set apart. If it's not good, then I'm going to spit it out. Immediately, I'm rejecting the thought and the idea. I'm refusing to let it have a place in my life because I don't want to contaminate this. If it is good, if it is compatible with truth and His character, then I'm going to chew on it and chew on it and chew on it. You remember I said earlier that Judah just gnaws on anything he can get his hands on. He does that because it feels good. Gnawing on things kind of relieves the pressure and helps with teeth to come in. And so when we are taking in information, when we're taking in truth, we're going to gnaw on it all day long. Psalm 37:30 says, righteousness chews on wisdom like a dog chews on a bone and rolls virtue around on his tongue. See, how do you know if you're still on milk? Because when you read the Bible, oh, that's nice. Let me highlight that. Okay. And you just go. You just go. I just checked this off my good girl list. I read my chapter today, my 10 chapters, whatever your thing is. Because I'm reading the whole Bible through in a year and I have a quota, and so I've met my quota. That's a symptom of a milk drinker. Somebody who's cutting teeth or who has teeth has got to chew. And so you find that verse and it just leaps out at you, or God speaks something to you from a message that you are listening to, or a Bible study that you're in, or a study that you're doing at home, and like, you just, I can't get off this verse. I'm chewing on it. I'm gnawing on it. What that means is you're meditating on it. Meditation is not owned by false religions of Buddhism and Hinduism. Those are lies where you empty your mind. Meditation is biblical, and it was ordained and instituted by God, and it means that you fill your mind. See, did you see how the opposite was there? That's kind of how I know right from wrong. That doesn't sound like what God says. That can't be right. Because the opposite is true. You're filling your mind, filling your mind, filling your mind with truth, and you're thinking on that. And you're looking at it under a microscope, and you're examining it from every possible angle, and you're asking yourself the question, what does this verse mean to me? How would I be different if I applied that verse to my life? How would my life change? How would my circumstances change? How would my marriage change? How would my health change? How would my kids change? How would my finances change if I implemented this truth? How would this impact my spiritual development and my walk with Jesus? Would it require sacrifice on my part? Would it require me to get rid of some things? Would it require me to do some things differently? Would it require me to change aspects of my life, change the way I think, change the way I believe? What would happen if I embraced that truth? And then you do it. You apply it. You implement it, you embrace it, and you build your life around it. Because that's exactly what Jesus said in this passage I just read to you just a few moments ago. The words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements for standard living. No, they are foundational words, words to build your life on. They're not accent pieces meant to look pretty. They're foundational things that you build everything else around. And as you do this, you're cutting teeth. You're cutting teeth. You're saying, I know this is hard. I know I don't want to do it. I know that it's not comfortable. I know it doesn't make sense. I know it's not easy, but I have to do this because I'm following Holy Spirit and He's going here. And so I have to say bye, bye, bye to the things that tie me down. Bye, Felicia. I got to go. I got to be with Jesus. I have to follow. I have to stay in step with Holy Spirit. And it's not easy. And here comes the teeth. Bit by bit, piece by piece. But here's the beauty of this. See, Judah has three teeth on the bottom, and he's getting three teeth on the top. So when he had no teeth, it was just straight formula out of a bottle. But now he's got these three little teeth at the bottom and these little nubs that are coming through. And guess what? He has progressed to these little star puffs. And he is thrilled to pieces over them. He gets so excited when you pull out the jar, and they're made for just little babies who don't have much teeth and still really don't know how to use them. But it's an additional flavor. And it's a delight. And they're made to kind of dissolve in his mouth because he doesn't yet have it all figured out. That way he won't choke on it. Same thing is true for us spiritually. When he sees that we have said bye to those things and we submitted ourselves and we surrendered to his will, and it was painful and it was deep and it was hurting, and we chose to follow him anyway, here comes the teeth, and he says, hey, you want a taste of this? Let me give you a sample of that. And we journey along, and more teeth come. And he says, you want to try this? How about we have a sample of that? And more teeth come. And see, we just keep getting more and more and more. As the teeth keep coming, he keeps offering more, giving us bigger and bigger and bigger things. We're moving from glory to glory to glory to glory. It's a process. It's a process. So, I know that this was a hard message. I know this was difficult to hear. It was confirmed by those who were in the first service who said they now have no toes. So I get it. I know it's hard, but listen, this is what I want you to understand. In this season, Bill and I and those who are on the pastoral staff who teach on Sundays and who teach on Wednesdays. And by the way, if you don't come on Wednesdays and you can, you need to come. That's gnawing opportunity right there. Yes, it will be a sacrifice after a long day at work to come here. maybe inconvenience for you on how you do dinner and how the kids do school and all that kind of stuff, but it's a sacrifice so that you can keep track with Holy Spirit, and we're going to give you stuff to gnaw on. So in this season, as we're teaching and all the opportunities that we have, we're going to be teaching things that help us cut teeth. And I know a lot of things won't be popular because they go against public opinion. They'll maybe go against what you've always thought or what you've always believed. It's going to be a snotty, slobbery mess. And it's okay. It's okay. We got to do what we got to do to work this out so we can get some teeth. It's going to be painful. Let me just warn you in advance. It's going to be difficult. It's going to stretch you. It's going to hurt real deep as it challenges you. But I promise you, as someone who has some teeth, but I'm looking forward to more teeth, to new teeth, it's worth it. Because once you have tasted the solid food of more advanced teaching, once you have gone from glory to glory, nobody can drag you back to milk. Nobody. The delight of spiritual food, the savor of variety, the thrill of adventure and discovery, of using utensils and sitting at the big kid table, is worth anything and everything that we have to do to get there. It will not always be fun. It will be rewarding. It will be satisfying. It will be fulfilling. It will be sustaining. But it will be